Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I think you know that I have tried to be honest and upfront with you for as long as we have been together as pastor and congregation or as brothers and sisters in Christ. I think from the first time we met, even during my first interview here, and especially of late as we have been dealing with all of the real estate stuff, it's been really important to me to keep you in the loop. Because I don't want you to feel like things are just happening to you. And I don't want you to feel like it's some sort of backroom, under the table, shady deal thing. And so we have tried very hard, your counsel, your congregational counsel, and myself, to be as upfront and as transparent as possible, whether it's been in sermons or adult forums or bulletins or Beam or website or whatever else. On the one hand, I have not wanted you to feel left out, and on the other hand, I haven't wanted you to stress or worry. Because if you've ever done anything involving real estate, there's always ups and downs and things change constantly. And just to cut straight to the chase, this past week, things changed yet again. We officially received notice on, I think it was Tuesday, that the deal that we had in place to sell the church is now off the table. After doing their feasibility, the developer decided it was not as cost effective as they thought it was going to be, and so they have backed out of that deal. That's okay. Selfishly, I will be honest with you, it's a little disappointing to not have that part done with. But that's okay. Because as we have continued to talk about, we still have options. As a congregation, as a community of faith, we still have options. We have many options. There are still other churches that are interested in this location. And to be perfectly candid with you, we still have options through our larger Lutheran Synod. I don't want to get into those too much right now, and I'm actually not going to, but we do have a lot of options. And that's the positive side, is that right now we have been given a chance, after going through all of this stuff, to reevaluate and to really wonder what it is exactly that we want. What exactly do we want this place to look like? Where do we want it to be? When I got the call this week that told me this information, after I had a beer, that's halfway joking, I got thinking about the situation, and I was reminded very strongly of today's reading. I was reminded very strongly of today's reading of Jacob wrestling with God at the river. What do you think this whole story was about today? What do you think is going on in that? Jacob down at the river, this man jumps him. He's fleeing his brother Esau. Remember, he has taken the birthright from him. Jacob has taken Esau's birthright, the blessing of their father. Well, he's fleeing his brother, and yeah, he's down by the river. He's got his family to go across, and then this man comes out of nowhere and jumps him, and they wrestle. And they wrestle all night long, it says, right? You think that Jacob knows that it's God? It's really not clear, actually, in the story. Not the start, at least. You know, we, the reader, are told some things. But as far as the dialogue between Jacob and this man, it's really unclear exactly what's going on. But for whatever reason, when the wrestling match is over, Jacob gets a name change, right? He gets this blessing. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with man and have prevailed. It's classical biblical name change, right? We've seen that before. A few weeks ago, we saw that with Abram when he became Abraham, right? Just nod and say, yes, Pastor Chris, I remember. I was taking notes that day. We saw it with Sarah when she became Sarah. S-A-R-A-I to S-A-R-A-H. Later on in the New Testament, we see it with the calling of Simon, right? When he becomes Peter. With Saul to Paul, right? This name change thing happens in Scripture all the time, and it always happens with some big change in the person's life, big change in the status of who they are, their relationship with God. But here's the weird thing about this name change today. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with man and have prevailed. And then two words later in verse 29, and then Jacob. Did you notice that? He does this name change. And then two words later, the very next verse, and then Jacob. And then in verse 30, so Jacob called the place. And in verse 32, he struck Jacob. I thought his name was changed to Israel. Didn't it? Isn't that what it just said? You shall now be called Israel. Right? You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. And then for the rest of the chapter, we continue to call him Jacob. And if you read ahead, which I know you always do every week, chapter 33, we continue to call him Jacob. In chapter 34, we continue to call him Jacob. And 35, he's Jacob. And 36, he's Jacob. And 37, he's Jacob. And then he drops out for a little while when we talk about his son Joseph. And then he shows up again in chapter 42 as Jacob. And then finally, in chapter 43, 10 chapters later, he finally starts getting referred to as Israel for like a verse. And then he's back to being Jacob again up until he dies. What's up with that? What's up with this name change that isn't really a name change? You shall no longer be called Jacob, or maybe you shall be. Because that's what happens in the Scriptures. There's this moment down by the... Think about every other name change we've seen in the Bible. When Abram becomes Abraham, he's Abraham going forward. When his wife is renamed Sarah, she's Sarah going forward. When Simon becomes Peter, sure, sometimes we call him Simon Peter. But he's Peter going forward. Same for Saul and Paul. So why isn't this name change permanent? Why doesn't it take right away? I don't think, this is the part that made me think about us, I don't think that his wrestling match ended at the river. Maybe the physical one does. But I don't think him continuing to wrestle with God or continuing to wrestle with his faith ended at the river. I think it kept going for the rest of his life. It kept going as he fled his brother. It kept going as he went through the famine. It kept going when his sons went off to go talk to Joseph, and when Joseph disappeared in the first place. He continued to wrestle with God when he moved to Egypt. His faith was a process. His faith was not this one cathartic moment down at the river and then everything was fine. It was a process. And he continued to struggle and wrestle and deal with that process for the rest of his life. There was this amazing blessing that happened at the river, and yet that wasn't the end of the story. Sure, he's Israel. Sure, he's blessed. Sure, he will have descendants aplenty. The guy's got 12 kids. He's going to have a lot of descendants. But he continued to wrestle. This whole experience that we have been going through of who to sell to and what do we do afterwards is us continuing to wrestle. But as we have talked about so many times, God is still with us. And as every messenger of God says when they first show up, what three words? Be not afraid. Did you notice that Beth went and stitched that up and put it on the wall? I get a kick out of it. God is still with us, and be not afraid. Even in the midst of all of this chaos and change, things continue to happen to indicate that there is life here and there is hope here. And there is a future for ministry and for love of God here. Just 2 weeks ago, we gained this cooperative preschool that's here now 4 days a week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning, down in the fellowship hall, we have about 30 to 40 kids a day running around that place. Archer's there 3 days a week, which I love. It's chaotic because it's kids. But it's so filled with life. It's amazing. You go down there, you can't help but, you know, first notice that it's loud. But then be filled with that energy.
It's coming from the basement up.
Coming from the basement up. Let's not get symbolic about it. Right there. We continue to see opportunities and ways in which this congregation, this place, and this surrounding community are connected. We've had the tent group, United We Stand. They've been staying with us now for almost 2 months. And it's actually gone really well. We've had opportunities to fellowship with them. They've been incredibly generous when it's come to moving stuff. This rearrangement of chairs for today, I couldn't have done this alone. I actually borrowed a couple people from the camp who very willingly came up to help with moving things. Remember what Bethel means? The word Bethel? House of God. God's house.
What?
House of God, Archer. This continues to be God's house. This continues to be a place where people find connection to God and to community. And it's going to continue to be that. God is still, God's not done with us. There is still life here, there is still ministry here. And we are called to be not afraid. Yes, we continue to wrestle. Yes, we have some stuff we got to figure out again. But you know what? We're not alone. Now, maybe this does end with our hips slightly out of joint. For a few of you, that actually might help. I've seen some of you walk, so it's... Sorry, that was a walker joke. I'll stop. Not the light. But this continues to be a community of faith that God has faith in. The wrestling match is not over. But we still have a mission ahead of us, and we will continue to live into it. Let us pray. We thank you, O gracious, good, and loving God, for the chance to worship together, chance to praise your name. We thank you for the opportunities to grow through challenges. We ask you to continue to help us to find strength in you and purpose in your word. We ask you to be with all of the groups and organizations who operate from this place. We ask you to bless our brothers and sisters of Bethel, Ethiopia, to bless our brothers and sisters of Iglesia Evangelica de las Vallas, to bless our brothers and sisters and every other organization who's here, United We Stand, Lutheran Counseling Network, Cooperative Daycare, Preschool, all of these groups. We thank you for the love that you have shown us. We ask you to continue to help us to be strong in you. We pray this trusting in your holy, good, and gracious name. Amen.